Doctor's Inn.
I went to the doctor and the doctor said, son, you look older than me, and I'm 71. You're falling apart, you're not living right. I went to the doctor and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle and you're losing the fight. I went to the doctor and the doctor said, boy, your body is a temple. It's not a toy. Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse. Don't spill it now. I went to the doctor. Doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better, else you're gonna get worse. Oh, I went to the doctor.
Hello, this is Ken Logan and the Doctor's Inn. Speaking of going to the doctor, I'm a doctor. I'm a family practice doctor here in Chico. And I do this Doctor's Inn show one day a month, the third Thursday of the month from 6 to 7 in the evening. And my goal is to have subjects of interest and concern in the health field or medical field. And if you are interested in me covering a subject, you could email me at klogan.md@yahoo.com. I want you to know that the opinions voiced on this show don't necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Just me and the guests. That's whose opinion it is. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters like you, who is listening right now, and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festival and events, including Artoberfest, Chico Paleo, the True North Tour, Silent Film Festival, NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and even more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Alternative Energy Systems, a locally owned and operated partnership providing sustainable energy for life. Alternative Energy Systems offers residential, commercial, and agricultural solar energy solutions. More information by calling 345-6980 or visit solarenergyforlife.com. Today's show is going to be about a subject of healthcare availability. And we're going to talk about it from a range of angles. So I'm hoping you'll stay tuned for that. We're going to, later on at the last part of the show, the latter half of the show, a community activist and what I feel is an expert in healthcare availability and legislative options around that subject. And that community member is Tom Reed, and he will come in around 6:30 this evening and inform us. Before we head that direction, however, we have another community member with a health-related announcement, Gerald Darling.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Logan.
Sure.
And
what's up?
What's up? Well, this is you having me back here, but I would like to announce the 5th Annual Emotional Tune-Up Seminar. It's an afternoon of free workshops devoted to emotional well-being and enhancing your life's outlook. And this will be a week from today, Thursday, March 23rd, over at Lakeside Pavilion at 2565 California Park Drive. The doors open at 12. The program starts at 12:30 and go to about 4:30. In the afternoon of workshops, we have 16 different workshops. Some of them will be have been repeated. There'll be four workshops going on at the same time. So if you come, you have an opportunity to select four groups to attend in the afternoon. We'll start the program with the keynote speaker, and that's Rick Newton. Many of you may know Rick right here in the community. He's a grief educator, and he's going to talk about growth through loss and change. In the rest of our workshop, there'll be a variety of topics. Think Positive, Live Longer, Live Fuller by Katrine Aluigo. What's Holding You Back, Lindy Caput. I'll do one on self-compassion, the ultimate love affair. Caring Well for Ourselves in Troubled Times, Steve Flowers, as many of you may know from the Inlo Stress Management Program. Inner Peace and Strength Through Tai Chi Chuan, David Gant, an instructor at Zod's Martial Arts. Mind Power to Achieve Your Goals, Gail Kimball. She's a doctor here, as author and teacher and energy worker, and we've had her on the program and as a keynote speaker before. Rick Newton will also do a presentation on healing grief, coming full circle. Tom Hess from the Yoga Center of Chico will be doing yoga, a pathway to well-being. April Showers, workshop facilitator, will do celebrating the human experience. And Lori Taylor Morgan has been on our program all 5 years. She will be doing one on related to grief on healing unattended and unfinished grief. And in addition, I'd like to recognize Roots Catering because they provide the refreshments through the afternoon. So just keep in mind next Thursday, March 23rd.
March 23rd.
From 12:30 to 4:30.
So 12:30, noon 30,
yes,
to 4:30.
4:30 at Lakeside Pavilion.
Lakeside Pavilion, where's that at again?
That is 2565 California Park Drive. It's right near Inlo's Prompt Care.
All right. Do people need to, can they just come there, or do they need to prior call or anything like that?
That's a good question, Ken. They can just show up.
All right.
Come early. Last year we had the parking was a little tight, so
yeah,
if they want to come and get a good parking space, come early.
Does this cost them money?
No money. It's free, and it's actually co-sponsored by some of the organizations in town,
mm-hmm,
like Passages, mm-hmm, Wind Chimes, Atria Assisted Living, Country Village Assisted Living, Happy at Home, Butte 211, and the Disability Action Center will have tables or information there as well.
Man, that to me sounds like a very, what's the word? Oh, man, there's some big names and a lot of important work going to be done for people if they choose. And on that day, that's a week from today.
That's you're right.
And 12:30 noon to 4:30.
Right.
And tell me again the place.
It's Lakeside Pavilion, 2565 California Park Drive.
And no charge.
No charge.
It's emotional tune-up.
Right.
Well, and underline that, because that's, man, there's some stuff going to happen there.
Well, you know, a holistic approach to health includes your emotions.
No kidding. Well, very good. All right, Gerald, darling, thank you for filling us in on that.
And thank you for having me.
Sure enough. See you later.
Yep.
Hey, okay, now I'm going to move ahead into the healthcare availability. And I know the issue of the terminology of healthcare availability, I know you and I may not be on the same page on what I mean by the terminology of that, but I think it's important for us to talk about the terminology of what is meant by healthcare availability, because there's so much in the federal and state government currently that has pending bills, et cetera, and laws that have to do with that subject, that I think we, the people and the politicians, need to all be on the same page of what exactly that means. When we talk about the words healthcare availability, there's two variables in that. One is the variable of what we mean by healthcare. And then the other variable is availability. So healthcare, what's that mean as a term? What are we talking about when we say healthcare? Well, care, I look at it, there's about three areas of that, and we need to know if we're including all the areas or not including all the areas when we're talking about the term healthcare. One, care for a person when you have a major illness. When you have a major illness needs, like you got a heart attack or you had a medical, a motor vehicle accident or something big happened and bammo, you need big time medical care. That's one piece of healthcare. And here's another big piece of healthcare, and that is care, in a preventative manner to prevent specific medical diseases and to prevent or, help from worsening of various emotional and mental conditions. So prevention of certain medical diseases and prevention of emotional or mental worsening or conditions is another aspect of healthcare. When we're talking about a healthcare bill or feature, does it include these preventativeness? And does it include the emotional and mental conditions help as well? And then a third area that I'm thinking of is ongoing and support and maintenance of health. That is, for people who do have medical conditions, the care and ongoing support and maintenance of one's health with those conditions, both medical, emotional, and psychiatric, the health care maintenance of those conditions and the person involved is part of what else is involved with healthcare. So then I want to talk about the word availability. And I know you'd think, well, why am I even bringing that up? Available, is it available or not available? Well, because some terms get used here, again, that we need to be on the same page relative to. And that includes the term health insurance. And part of the availability issue has to do with money or the monetary issues that are involved with our health care. The term insurance, having health insurance, for instance, the acquiring of a health insurance policy does not necessarily mean that one would have availability or the ability to use that healthcare policy from a standpoint of the prevention of medical illnesses and emotional mental illnesses, the support of ongoing maintenance of health, medical and psychiatric illnesses. It might help you if you got in a car accident or a heart attack for big catastrophic needs, but it may not be any use at all to you because you can't afford to use it for ongoing maintenance and prevention of problems. And then the second point on availability has to do with the availability of the hospitals and doctors and laboratories and stuff like that, the infrastructure and personnel involved in healthcare serving you. And the reason that that's important to think about when we're talking about various bills or proposals has to do with the fact that just because there are hospitals and doctors in your area, for instance, doesn't mean that they are or are not contracted with, quote unquote, your health care coverage. In other words, your insurance. So this all needs to be kept in mind when we're dealing with subjects that have to do with affecting our healthcare, quote unquote, availability, be it in the state or be it in the federal government. Locally, in the Chico area, I'll just say that we have a small piece or a small thing to help some of us. Some people in our area from both who have problems both monetarily with obtaining health care, in other words, they can't afford it, or because they can't find a doctor, in other words, the availability of a doctor or health care personnel is something that they're having difficulty finding. And that piece, little piece that we do in this, our community, is called the Shalom Free Clinic. And Ray Locker wants to talk to me about that. So, okay, Ray.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Well, you know, as we were talking about today's program and kind of going over what the subject matter was going to be, and especially with a lot of things that are happening now in health insurance and healthcare, and a lot of people are definitely stressed about some of the changes, I being one of them as well, because I have my insurance through the Affordable Care Act, and I would like to know that it's going to be there next year, and if it's not, it's going to be a major life change for me. And I'm already planning on not having health insurance and waiting till I'm 65, to be honest with you. So that's a real thing. And the Shalom Free Clinic has been a long-time pillar in the community, filling in the gaps. So I thought this might be a nice way for people to at least, not like you're going to run there tomorrow, but know it's there and maybe put it in your radar and share it with your family, your friends, the people you're in contact with. So I thought maybe we can talk just a few minutes about the Shalom Free Clinic, a little bit about its history and what kind of services they offer and what people can expect.
Good questions. You know, and I think it's also good, like you said, to just have the people, the citizens, the people who live here in our community to at least know about it. Because you never know, like you said, you never know when someone, a loved one or family friend or yourself would have a need that you're not even anticipating as of today.
Right, you might not know the service or reason available. So let's.
Yeah.
Do you know what year it started?
About 10 years ago, 9 to 10 right. years ago, about 10 years ago it started. It was started by three people, one being a retired registered nurse, the other one being a physician assistant, and the third person being a doctor of psychology. The doctor of psychology never really got involved much in it, and he moved away shortly thereafter. The physician assistant was the healthcare provider there for the clinic for probably 5 or 6 years, and then she moved on to doing different things. Mm-hmm. The registered nurse, retired registered nurse, who is a pillar in this community for social services and helping other people who are in need of help, is still involved and is actually the director of the Shalom Free Clinic, and that's Nancy Morgans Ferguson.
Oh, nice, yeah, excellent.
The physician assistant who started one of the three people who started it is Karen Kushner. She's still in the community, and Dr. Jones. I forget his first name. Oh, man. Anyway, he was a doctor of psychology who's now practicing further north in California.
And now you volunteer your time there?
Yes. So I've been volunteering there for, I don't know, the last 9 years or so. So about a year or so, give or take a couple of months after it started, I started volunteering there, and I continued to volunteer there.
Are there other MDs involved also? Or?
Wouldn't that be nice? You want the long answer or the short answer?
Short answer will do.
No.
Okay.
The long answer is sometimes we occasionally have one or another that may stop by, but that's a rarity. Who helps me with it as a healthcare providers are currently, over the last few months, we've had some mid-level practitioners, three of them are physician assistants,
sure.
And one is a nurse practitioner, and they do a rotating thing. To work with me at the clinic, and so that's very helpful. I would love to have other physician assistants or nurse practitioners and or physicians to help with the clinic. That'd be great.
Yeah, get involved.
Hey, can I tell you the hours and the?
Yeah,
the
I just want to bring something up quick.
Sure.
And again, maybe people are familiar with this, but just a quick little background. To be honest with you, I don't go to the doctor very often unless I'm getting carried away, and I hope that is not going to happen.
However, you look real healthy sitting there,
well,
Ray.
You never know. Some people are in circumstances where they go quite often. But the fact that somebody's a physician's assistant doesn't mean that they're not very well trained and have a ton of experience and skill. When you go to the doctor these days, you very rarely see the doctor. You don't see the nurse unless you're in care. You see a physician's assistant. That's a person that's coming in, taking your blood pressure, checking your charts, going through all those things, and they make the recommendation if you need to see the next level.
Yeah, the physician assistant is licensed provider, which means they are licensed to see patients at, in the similar kind of function as a physician.
Right.
And they can write, they get your history, they examine you, they figure out your condition or work with you on what your condition is and then come up with a plan on how to help you. Included in that is writing prescriptions,
sure.
Prescription medicines. A physician assistant is always under the direct supervision of a physician by law.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go into what that means, but nonetheless, they have a physician that supervises them. Nurse practitioner is another mid-level practitioner that is more able to be more independent. They're a registered nurse who then goes on to have additional training and then it becomes licensed to actually see patients, similar to as a physician does, also to write prescriptions and do other therapy advice. Again, they are more independent, though. I think the issue is they're affiliated. If they need a physician, they're affiliated in some way, connected in some way with the physician, but not a direct supervisorial situation such as a physician assistant.
Right.
So nurse practitioners have a bit more autonomy.
Okay. So I guess the point of this is you're not getting medical care. You're getting professional medical care.
Absolutely.
At the highest level.
Physicians,
as you would get anywhere.
Physician
else.
Assistants and nurse practitioners in our country are all able to see you and help you. We need physician assistants. We need nurse practitioners.
Sure.
And we need doctors.
Sure. And Shalom Free Clinic, what could people, like, for instance, if I'm just not feeling well, do I go there? Do I go to the emergency room? Or is this more for, I need to have my blood pressure taken or something?
Yeah, good question. Let me start out by saying what the hours are in the day, because I don't want people to hear this and think that we're readily available all the time. And we're not, because we're not. The Shalom Free Clinic is on Sundays only. And it's only the Sunday afternoon from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. We go a little longer than that. But starting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to approximately 4 in the afternoon is when we're available. Every Sunday, unless it's some kind of holiday thing. As far as, number one, you don't need an appointment. Number two, it doesn't cost you anything. Number three, the kind of things we can do. If you have an emergency, such as chest pain, and you think you might be having a heart attack, or you're
broken bones or something,
a stroke or something like that, Shalom Free Clinic is not the place to go.
Right, you're going to you want to go to the emergency room,
right? Whether you have insurance or not, you want to go to the emergency room.
Correct.
But as far as for a cold or a urinary tract infection or something on your skin you're wondering about, or if you have diabetes, high blood pressure, seizure disorder, some ongoing chronic condition, but yet you're unable to pay for seeing your healthcare provider because you don't have insurance, or you have health insurance and you just can't afford to use it because your deductible's high, your copay is high, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Which is a lot of people, by the way. Or sometimes we see patients who have insurance, such as even Medi-Cal, who just are having trouble getting in with a doctor for a problem that doesn't mean they should go to the emergency room, but they just need some ongoing care. So we'll do that, too. We don't turn anybody away.
Right, right. So it's not really for acute problems.
Not so much acute.
But definitely for
minor acute, yes.
General health and
general health, yeah.
Haven't had my blood pressure, not feeling 100%. Something's up here.
Yeah. We don't do lab testing generally. We can look at urine a little bit. But we can't do x-rays. We can't do other testing generally. So it's pretty rudimentary, if you want the truth. Even if it's something that I can't take care of that day, I can talk to you about it and counsel you on where to get care.
Right, and that's just as important.
Yeah.
Giving you some guidance. Take the unanswered question, take the scary out of it, take the unknown out of the equation.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, a lot of what I do there is it doesn't matter to me or anybody else at the Shalom Free Clinic whether you have health insurance or not. That doesn't matter to us. We'll see everybody. But what does matter to me as a doctor when I see you is, well, if you do have health insurance, including Medi-Cal or something, any health insurance, how come you need the Shalom Clinic, a free clinic? How come you're not able to connect with someone else in the community via your insurance? Mm-hmm. And so a fair amount of the counseling goes into instructing or counseling or trying to help people figure out how to participate in the other areas of healthcare infrastructure in the community or surrounding communities. I mean,
sure.
Shoot, we get patients from other towns. That's true, too. Free clinics in the state, I Googled this the other day to try to get a list of, it just didn't work out. I'm not talking about low income or low fee, low charge. I'm talking about free clinics, and nothing popped up to sort out just free clinics, but I know there's some in the Bay Area and other other places. It's just, I just don't know of any in our, I don't know, 200, well, let's say 100-mile radius around us. There's certainly some in Sacramento.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, just navigating the healthcare system and knowing how to go, where to go, it's difficult. And as anybody has gone through it, it's an education in itself.
Oh, tell me.
I was often curious, how busy are you guys?
Oh, yeah, that's good. At the Shalom?
Yeah, you busy
very
start
good question.
To finish every Sunday? Or?
It varies. I will tell you that it's not real busy. It's steady for those 3-4 hours, but it's not overly busy, I would say, in my opinion. Now, I think part of the reason that is the case currently is because of the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm. That has helped take the burden off a little bit.
The Medi-Cal availability of Medi-Cal for patients increased with the Affordable Care Act. So patients could go to places like Ampla Health or community health clinics like Ampla Health and Northern Valley Indian Health and Prompt Care even. And some of the people got health insurance from the exchange, even though many of those people can't afford to use it for general health care for things like what we do at Shalom Clinic. So we see and end up seeing some of those patients. But nonetheless, some of those patients are getting medical care at doctor's offices or other places in the community. So for those two reasons, the Affordable Care Act, I think, took some of the burden off of us.
Well, you've been there 9 years.
Right.
So you've seen both sides.
Right.
Because Affordable Care has only been around 3 years now, I guess.
Right. So it was worse.
It was worse, yeah.
Yeah, we would spend, we would finish 6-7 o'clock at times, and it was with Karen, the PA, and me every Sunday.
Right.
It was both of us every Sunday. Now there's some Sundays it's just me.
Uh-huh.
Or another practitioner who's, you know, kind of still getting their feet wet sometimes.
Right.
But in those days with Karen and me both doing it, we would have some long days.
Yeah, long sessions.
But now it's a little less. But now with which Tom Reed is going to talk to us about in a few minutes, some of the potential issues that are coming in front of us in the state of California. I'm sorry, mainly, I didn't mean that. I meant the federal government. In other words, Congress attempting to strip away some of the elements of the Affordable Care Act and put in place some things that will work against ongoing care for these chronic diseases, et cetera. I'm telling you, my point is that if the Republicans in Congress currently get their way and make these changes that Trump and the Republicans are talking about, the Shalom Free Clinic clientele will increase again. I'm here to tell you and guarantee you that will happen.
Oh yeah, it's going to be anyway.
And then there's a state bill that is being proposed that Tom Reed will want to hear about a solution to this whole problem.
Well, let's take a step back. Where is the Shalom Free Clinic, and how do I get a hold of them? Because this is something that it's good for people to know if they ever need to use that resource.
Shalom Free Clinic, Sundays 1 to 4, two sites. One is the medical site, which is the site that we've been talking about that I'm at, and that is, again, 1 to 4 on Sundays. It's at 1010 Mangrove, Suite D, no appointment needed, 1010 Mangrove, Suite D, 1 to 4. Sundays. The other site is for behavioral health, where we have a psychiatrist one Sunday a month, and we have counselors each Sunday per month, and that is at the site of the First Christian Church. Is it 120? I forget the address. So First Christian Church in Chicoan, East Washington. Same hours, Sunday 1 to 4.
And the Mangrove location, I know Chico loves its landmarks. What's it? 1010?
It's right next. 1010 is right next to Access Dental. It's in the parking lot as the Inlo Wound Center.
Right. Kind of across from,
cemetery.
Yeah, across from the cemetery. Right, it's a short walk. All right, well, let's take a little musical break. Thanks, Ken, and thank you for your years of dedication to the community. And I just want to put a thing out. You know, you never know. There might be some people or their friends or families or something that might be interested, medical professionals, in getting a hold of you and maybe...
And volunteering.
Coming in. I mean, these are changing times, and I think one of the silver linings is we all need to get involved to take control of our lives, because obviously nobody's going to be doing it for us, and that's
right
pretty
on.
Obvious.
Right on.
So how would they... Email, is that a good way to get a hold of you?
Email is, also you can come by the clinic, 1 to 4 Sundays, 1010 Mangrove, Suite D, but also you could email me. That would be great. klogan, MD@yahoo.com. So klogan, that's klogan, MD@yahoo.com.
All righty, thanks, Ken. Let's take a quick music break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about the future.
We're good, thanks. Hello, this is Ken Logan and the Doctor's Inn. Today we're discussing healthcare availability. And the first part of the show, I was talking to you a few issues about what that meant, healthcare. And then what does availability mean from a standpoint of cost for any individual to obtain medical care? And then the other issue was availability of the infrastructure or hospitals, labs, doctors, nurses, etc., depending on their healthcare system. There are issues currently in the federal government and our state government, but I think probably the first place that I'd like Tom Reed to tell us about has to do with the federal government and some of the fighting or soon to be fighting that's going on in Congress relative to making changes in what we currently have called the Affordable Care Act, and maybe some changes to that that are afloat or being talked about. And then a second, Tom Reed is going to talk to us about a bill that's in the state of California, or making its way through the state of California legislature, having to do with health care. And my opinion is, in at least the state of California, a solution to our fiasco relative to healthcare availability. Tom Reed is a community member here in Chico, has been knowledgeable and active for many years relative to healthcare issues and healthcare availability issues. And it is a pleasure and an honor to have you with us today, Tom Reed.
Thank you, Ken. It's good to be here.
So relative to what's happening in federal government versus the state, start where you want to start and inform me and the listeners.
I'm going to start with Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities. This was the best of times, and this was the worst of times, you know. The worst of times, of course, is that we have a kind of a fascist sociopath as president, and we have extreme right-wingers in control of both houses of Congress. The good news, of course, is the public response to it, Mobilize and Our Revolution and Indivisible and a lot of old groups like the Democratic Socialists of America, Progressive Democrats of America, and so forth, are responding, you know.
Good.
And so we're having people rising up all around the country around the issue of health care, as well as the issue of, we all know. So what's happening in Washington right now is Donald Trump is being challenged to follow through on his promise to repeal and revise and renew and do whatever he's going to do with the Affordable Care Act. And the good news is that this is revealing all kinds of fissures within the Republican Party. For example, a lot of Republicans, senators and congresspeople, it turns out that they have a huge number of people getting Medicaid as a result of the Affordable Care Act.
And Medicaid in the state of California is called Medi-Cal.
Right. Mm-hmm. But these are people who are getting not perfect health insurance, but some health insurance as a result of the Affordable Care Act. And if the Affordable Care Act is simply trashed, they're going to lose their insurance. And hopefully they'll remember who is responsible for that.
We're talking millions of people.
Million. Well, I heard on NPR this morning that if the Affordable Care Act is simply repealed and nothing replaces it, 24 million Americans will lose their insurance. I read a similar report from the California Nurses Association. They
said the next 10 years or something like that.
They said 18 million.
Oh, 18 million.
18 million.
Think about that. Million.
Million.
18
million.
To 24 million people.
A lot of people.
That's a lot.
Ironically, the majority of these people live in states that went for Trump. Going to be some things going on here. Trump, of course, is saying everything is going to be huge and wonderful, and he's going to fix it because he knows more about health policy than anybody probably in the history of the world. Look, he just discovered that health care policy is complicated. He just commented on that a while back. This is really complicated. I mean, who would have guessed? Who would have guessed this is complicated?
And it is the health care system, and the health care, such as we were talking about, is complicated. And it is very true that politicians, generally speaking, in my mind, people like Trump, really do not know the complicatedness of it. I was just thinking about this today, earlier today. People like our Governor Brown, Jerry Brown, who does happen to have a brain, thank God, I think can understand to a better degree what the complications are, the complicating mess that the healthcare system is.
And maybe ironically, maybe not, the proposal that I support and that I know you support, a single-payer Medicare for All system, one of the great advantages of it is that it's simple.
Yeah.
You know,
straightforward.
I could explain to a 10-year-old of average intelligence how a single payer system works in about 5 minutes,
and they'd understand it.
And they'd understand it. Yeah. And I can't. You know, I can't explain the Affordable Care Act to myself, let alone to anybody else.
You know, you mentioned something that I was thinking about earlier today too, when I was working at the community clinic in town, and you know, I think the general public doesn't know. And certainly people like Trump do not know the complicatedness of what we in healthcare go through to try to obtain or get for our patients healthcare
mm-hmm.
from all levels thereof, be it medications, be it treatments, be it laboratory, be it other testing, be it visits to see me or not see me. and you would not believe it if any of them could have followed me today and see the spider web of stuff that is necessary in order to get the care currently because of health insurance myriad.
God forbid you should be able to practice medicine.
Yeah, which is I don't. I do yeah. a piece of medicine and then I spend the rest of my time. Trying to obtain, go through the paperwork and jump through hoops to get that care for the patients because of the roadblocks in the health insurance industries, both private insurance plus the private insurances that now are contracted with Medi-Cal for the managed care Medi-Cal products that are out.
And so I need to make one statement real
yeah,
quick
sure.
here because I'm going to say some snarky things about the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
I do not support the repeal of the Affordable Care Act by these right-wingers. I support it being transformed, not repealed, but being transformed into a single-payer system. It has done good for some people. It's far from perfect. I have criticized it loudly and vociferously and still do. But I'm not going to in any way support the attempt that
which
Trump is doing, which
yeah.
is to basically go back to the status quo ante the time before. But even worse than that, you know, your mention, your comment about the administrative time you spend. We spend over $400 billion, that's with a B, dollars a year in administrative costs, both in the time and energy and resources of providers and in the insurance companies, all of which is totally ridiculous.
$400 billion a year in the United States we spend on administrative
costs, yeah, which contributes nothing.
Yeah.
Other countries for comparable size programs would probably... $50 billion, perhaps.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I happened to cut my hand when I was in Costa Rica a number of years ago. Costa Rica is, of course, a low middle income country, but they do have a universal healthcare system. I went to the hospital to get stitched up, and when I left, they gave me a bill for $60 because
yeah.
because I wasn't a citizen or uh-huh. you know. But what impressed me was that there was one guy. Their billing department was one guy.
Oh yeah,
kind of sitting
it
there.
It wasn't a complicated department.
He was sitting there. You walk through, and if you're a citizen, he just says, you know, bon voyage, have a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a citizen, then he has some kind of charges for whatever mm-hmm. it was. But the whole thing is ridiculous. What the Republicans are proposing, and nobody really knows where Trump is on this. He kind of shifts back and forth from day to day. But the Ryan bill basically is an attempt really to privatize the whole healthcare financing system. He would like to privatize Medicare. He would like to turn Medicaid into block grants. He would like to probably eliminate any funds for the institutes of health and those sorts of things. He's a true believer. These guys are true believers that unregulated capitalist markets are the cure for everything. Some of your listeners might have seen a debate between Ted Cruz and Bernie Sanders on CNN 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it was less interesting than it might have been because all that Cruz did was kind of give these, you know, weird smirks and things and shake his head like Bernie or so, you know. But all that he emphasized was choice. And what he thinks is choice is the right of people, is people's right to go shopping for insurance. It's not the right to choose your doctor. It's not the right to choose your hospital. It's not the right to have input into the kind of services you get. And God forbid it should be affordable. But as long as you have a market for people where I can go out and buy whatever kind of insurance I want, he's happy.
And I said earlier in the show that healthcare availability is not synonymous with whether or not a person has a healthcare policy or not. Who was talking to Bernie Sanders?
Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz. What Ted Cruz doesn't understand, or anybody else, Paul Ryan doesn't understand, is just having, in the free market or not in the free market, a health insurance policy does not mean you have a better availability to health care. It actually means the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
If for the middle class and lower middle class who are not able to get Medi-Cal because they make too much money, it's actually the opposite of that. Because the health, I'm telling you, from experience with my patients, the health care policies they're going to get that they think they're going to afford are not going to be policies for that they will be able to use in an ongoing fashion for maintenance and prevention of health care problems.
Right.
It'll be only available for when they don't take care of themselves because they can't afford to have the health care for that, and they have their heart attack or have their... fall off the ladder because they're not taking care of their knee arthritis or something. Whatever it is that catastrophic, that's when their health insurance is going to help them, hopefully. But what you really want is the ongoing maintenance of care and prevention.
You also want your neighbors to be healthy. It's like, if I'm healthy and you're racked with disease, I may not be healthy for very long. And if I'm healthy, but you're too sick to go to work, the economy suffers.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
We have a need to be in a healthy society, not just for one of us to cross our fingers and hope that we don't fall off a ladder. I wanted to mention just a couple of things about Trump, who is just such... The guy, among other things, can't do arithmetic because he wants to save parts of the Affordable Care Act. He wants to save the parts that he sees as being attractive, and they are attractive. The idea that people can't be denied insurance because of pre-existing conditions, that young people up to 26 can stay on their parents' insurance, and so forth and so on. He wants to save that, not realizing that if he saves that and dumps the individual mandate to buy insurance, the arithmetic doesn't work anymore. The arithmetic simply doesn't work. And on top of that, he wants to increase the military budget by $54 billion. He wants to balance the budget. He wants to cut taxes for the rich. He wants to put tons of money into what he calls school choice, which basically amounts to funding religious
private
schools,
uh-huh,
private schools. And seems totally, I think, is it enumerate, the term, a person who can't do basic arithmetic?
Yeah, I don't know.
But he doesn't
idiot?
Care.
He does that come out?
Yeah, idiot,
mind?
Idiot no. My work. He doesn't care. Maybe we should segue into the California situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and I'll... the bill we have in California, I know I have been and you have been and many other people in Butte County and others around the state have been working for a single-payer system here for a long time.
Single-payer system? What are you talking about, Tom?
Single-payer system? Just imagine Medicare improved and covering everybody.
I'm going to say for the listeners, Medicare is a system currently in the United States. It's federal insurance for people over the age of 65 and older, or younger people who have a disability of some sort. And that means that their Medicare is, I'm telling you as a doctor, Medicare is a good insurance for seeing your doctor, having your lab tests or other tests done, being in the hospital, etc. A small amount of money, a small amount essentially, does get paid in by the patient, including when you see there's some issues there. But one thing that we, like Tom Reed and myself and other people interested in single-payer healthcare, we often use the word improved Medicare for all. And by that, we mean improving on the things that we can see about Medicare that could be tweaked for the improvement. But I want you to know, as a physician, when I was in private practice, did you bring duct tape to put over my mouth, Tom? Let me tell you that when I was in private practice and I quit because of how the insurance industry was killing me, 8 years ago or something, the one insurance that was solid for me as a doctor, for my patients, the one insurance that was solid and would have kept me afloat if all my patients had it was Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Not the private insurances, because they screwed me. Medi-Cal, which is Medicaid, was less than appropriate. So that needs fixing too, but Medicare for all, we would be able to, in other words, have something that's sustainable for our for everyone, relative to good health care, and would not pay money into the profits of private health insurance companies who currently make their profits by not supplying health care. Anyway,
but you know, to
so that was Medicare. Okay, so that's Medicare. What Medicare is.
So basically a single-payer system, or Medicare for All system, has several characteristics. One is that everybody's in.
Everybody's in. Medicare for All, okay.
If you're a human being and are alive, in, say, in California, or hopefully ultimately in the country, you are entitled to health care services through the public universal system. It's a system that's financed through taxes. Heavens to Betsy, okay? It's a public program. But what it does is to eliminate the need for private insurance, so you're not paying for insurance, there's no co-payments, there's no deductibles. The arithmetic works out. You know why I know it works out? Because there are probably 40 countries in the world that are doing it now. And if you look at if you look at the rates of increase in terms of the cost of health care, if you look at the health care indicators, infant mortality, male and female mortality, these countries do better than we do. And they spend anywhere from one-third to two-thirds as much as we do per capita on health care. So we know this stuff works. What's lacking is not a system that works. What's lacking is political leadership, willing to stand up for this, and an enraged population that demands it. You often hear people say, well, you know, the American people simply won't stand for this. That's crap. I'm sorry for that word, but it is because when you look at polls.
Polls, yep.
The majority of people like the idea.
And greater than 50% of the physicians polled like the idea.
Correct. There was a poll done in Minnesota about 3 years ago, and not only family general practitioner guys like yourself, at every
specialty,
every race, both genders. I think for white male specialists, it wasn't a majority, but it was like 35% even there. Mm-hmm. And when you get to female persons of color working as general practitioners, it was like 80%.
Yeah,
you know, so doctors understand this, and apart from the fact of being hopefully humane for the most part, doctors, for the most part, want to practice medicine. They don't want to spend their lifetime negotiating with insurance companies.
Nope.
So it's universal coverage. It's comprehensive coverage. Comprehensive coverage.
Which means all aspects of your health care that you need.
Right.
And part of that comprehensive, let me just say, it has to do with preventative medicine, preventing health care problems, and the maintaining of chronic diseases so they don't get complications, which is, I think, part of the reason that our mortality rates and newborn death rates are higher in this country than other industrialized countries who have universal health care, is because the maintenance care in this country is lagging because of this health care system we have, where we have this idea of catastrophic care. You're not going to get health care paid for you until you're on your deathbed or until a major problem happens, rather than maintaining you all along because you can afford to see the doctor all along to help you stay healthy.
Which is the basic idea. So it's publicly financed. Ideally, it will be democratically administered. It'll be administered by the government. And hopefully, if we demand it, that will be a democratic government. I don't mean democratic as party, but democratic as principle. So that's the basic concept.
So Medicare currently, what's the overhead, administrative overhead percentage-wise on Medicare?
About 2 to 3%.
2 to 3% on overhead for the Medicare system. So the dollars basically that go into that go into healthcare.
Well, there's two ways of calculating this. One is to talk about Medicare as originally conceived, and the other is when you plug in the Medicare Advantage programs where you're dealing with private insurers, and there the administrative rates go up. You also notice that Medi-Cal, the administrative rates are about 6%. The reason for that is not that there's anything wrong with Medi-Cal, but that you're having constant redeterminations of eligibility.
Yeah.
So you're eligible today, you get a job tomorrow, lose your eligibility, lose your job the day after, you're back eligible again. So you have to have people shuffling paper to do that. Medicare, I'm 60, I'm 70 now. As of 65, I became eligible, and I'll be eligible till I die.
Yeah.
I better get to it.
Well, tell us about that bill. What's the number of the bill?
Okay. The bill is Senate Bill 562. Senate Bill 562.
In the state of California.
Just introduced by Senator Lara and Senator Atkins. Right now, it's going into an April, going into the Health Committee. We expect it to pass out of the Health Committee, where it will go to Appropriations, where it will probably kind of go into suspended animation because we're completing the financial study to show exactly what the taxation rates would be.
So the number of the bill is Senate in the state of California, Senate Bill
562. The name of the bill is Californians for a Healthy California Act.
Californians for a Healthy California Act,
right,
is the name of it.
That's the name of it. It would establish the kind of a system they're talking about here. We also, I think,
single-payer kind of system in the state of California.
And we actually may have a tremendous opportunity here because Gavin Newsom, at this point, is the leading Democratic candidate for governor, is a single-payer supporter.
Good.
If we can get this through the legislature, there's at least a fair to middle and chance of having Newsom pass it, if, in fact, he's elected. So that this could be a key issue in the 2018 election.
Could someone get involved to support this?
Funny you should ask. you can call me, 966-3414. I'm Tom Reed. Telephone is 966-3414. You can join the Butte County Healthcare Coalition, which is a good idea. Call me and talk about that. But very specifically, we have a meeting next Tuesday, the 21st, 7 o'clock. It's called the NorCal Healthcare Working Group. We're trying to put together, and are putting together, a group of people to fight to defend Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act against right-wing intrigues.
So where is this meeting?
It's next Tuesday, 7 o'clock, at Valley Oaks Village Common.
Valley Oaks Village Common.
Right, Common, which is off on Wild Oak Lane.
Wild Oak Lane.
If you're unclear where that is.
Off of Highway 32, right?
Yeah, it's 896-1609. Call that number and ask for Norma.
What's the number again?
896-1609. And that's just
Norma.
Norma or Forrest. For instructions.
We'll tell you about that meeting. Can you tell us that number again for that meeting that'll be this. What's the actual date?
The date's Tuesday the 21st.
Tuesday the 21st at what time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock in the evening.
And we're going to be focusing on a number of things. One of them is building support for Prop 562 through petitioning.
So that single-payer bill and California
petitioning, getting endorsements. We have a lot of work to do. We will, of course, be going mano a mano with the insurance industry and their minions.
And the phone number to talk to somebody about that meeting?
Talk to me is call me. Call my cell phone, 966.
966-3414.
3414. If I don't answer, leave a message with your contact information, and believe me, I will get back to you.
All right.
So,
Tom, thank you so much. Tom Reed, thank you so much for being on the show and talking to us.
Thanks, Kim. We'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, I'd like to do it again soon. And thanks, Ray Lager, engineer for the show.
Thanks, Ray.
The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of you, the KZFR supporters, and by Blazin' Jays, Chico's oldest smoke shop since 1998. Blazin' Jays features Blaze One clothing, Blaze One glass, glass repairs, vaporizers, e-liquid, and detox products. Blazin' Jays has got you covered. Blazin' Jays has three locations: in Chico on the corner of 9th and Salem, in Oroville at 695 Orodam Boulevard East, and in Paradise at 6226 The Skyway. And by the Downtown Chico Business Association, supporting Downtown Chico for over 40 years. The Downtown Chico Business Association brings you the Thursday night markets, the Friday night concert series, A Taste of Chico, the Christmas preview and tree lighting, Treat Street, and more. For a full schedule of what's happening downtown, visit downtownchico.com. Help keep Chico vibrant by shopping local and coming on downtown. And the opinions, voiced on this show are not necessarily those that on this show do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers, but really are from me, Ken Logan, and Tom Reed. Stay tuned. See you next month, by the way. Stay tuned for the Beatle Nation.
To be filled. I don't need no doctor.